bring greetings to you this morning again in Jesus' precious name. Our risen Savior who's overcome sin and death, that we might be able to overcome this world. This morning I want to start in Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In one portion of Scripture, we read about the man that went forth to battle, the king. He said, How does a king go forth to battle unless he's counted whether with, I think it says, 10,000 men can go up against 20,000 men? Or then he talks about a man building a house, and he prepares and he gets started building, and then he runs out of money before he's able to finish. And the people laugh and make fun of him. Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This morning, I want to talk about the crime of following through. And I put it that way, the crime of following through is because that is basically the attitude most people have towards someone who sees a project through or to sees the plan through. If you want to get in trouble with people in the world or people in the church world, what you do is find out what you're supposed to do and just start doing it. Whenever everyone else is just talking, just start putting it into practice. And you'll soon find yourself in trouble. I've sat through churches and church services and probably one of the biggest things now and have been through the last few years, you hardly go to a church service where they don't talk about evangelism. They talk about it in Sunday school, and they talk about it in church. The preacher preaches about it, and there's plenty of verses. In fact, this verse we just read, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." That's fine until you start doing it. And when you start doing it, eyebrows start getting raised. People start looking. They start examining. They start seeing all kinds of problems. I don't know, before I was converted, and I've seen it happen many times, people can work all day long and almost all night long, and no one hardly says anything about it. But you let someone get excited about going and preaching and go to preach 2 or 3 hours a week, and in most places, everyone starts getting worried and nervous that they're going to go crazy, that they're going to lose their family, that they're spending all their time preaching. And it just causes all kinds of problems. And all it is simply putting into practice what we know we ought to be doing. It's the crime of following through. Everyone would say, yeah, we ought to do it. Everyone would say, yeah, this is right. But God's waiting for someone to stand up and do it. Jesus said, it's not he that saith, Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. You want to get in trouble, start doing and acting on your convictions instead of just talking about them. You'll soon find that there's not as many people supporting you as you thought. Among all the talk about what's right and what we ought to be doing, just start putting it into practice, and you'll find out that you're not going to be a hero anymore. You know, they kind of lift it up that, you know, we look back like they did in the Bible. They slew the, Jesus talked about them, the prophets being slain, but you've built monuments to them. They look back on people who have stood and have done what's right, and they've built monuments to them. And yet, if someone in their midst would stand up and begin to do those things, they'd be the very ones to be slain. The crime of putting into practice what we know to do. We live in a time when we're all theologians. We know how to talk it. We know how to find the books that can explain everything and tell us everything and to teach us all the ins and outs, and where it all fits together. But God's looking for men that not only understand the message, but are able to put it into practice. One of the titles of one of the books of the early Christians is, "We don't speak great things, we live them." A lot of the plain churches say that they're living as a testimony. Well, if you're not putting into practice things, you're not living as a testimony. You may live within a certain confined set of rules or something like that, but if you're not performing what you know to do, you're not living great things. You're not doing great things. You're just living in a little safety zone, a comfort zone. Christ has called us out of those comfort zones to live and to put into practice the things that you know to do. One of the men that was looking to come here a few years ago, Wilbur, he just couldn't hardly accept that he would be, the people he was with at that time would not just support him if he did what was right. And I told him, Marcus and I shared with him, that if you just start following Jesus with the convictions that you have, it won't be long till your church will, you'll find out what it means to follow Jesus, because your church will reject you. Just start putting into practice what you know to do what's right, and you'll start getting in trouble. And so he did. And everyone in his church came to his house, one right after another, and asked him what he was doing. And he said, I'm just trying to carry out the convictions that I believe I ought to be carrying out in my own home. He wasn't welcome anymore. You start putting into practice what you know to do, and you'll find that your fellowship shrinks tremendously. We've all experienced some of that. That's what the problem is. It's the crime of following through. It's the crime of just doing what Jesus said to do. And when we do that, we'll find ourselves in trouble. We go out on the streets and we preach. And as we've preached, we begin to learn and we begin to understand that whenever we started preaching, we just went out with the message that we thought everybody needed to hear. And we got out there and we found out that everybody already believed that message, that Jesus died and rose again. And through the years, we've come to understand that there's a problem with just men imagining themselves to be saved because they supposedly believe. And we've come to understand that unless you act upon what you're doing, you don't believe at all. And as we've tried to unravel that mystery of the gospel, we tried to follow through with where God was leading us, we find ourselves further and further away from what everyone else is thinking about the gospel. We were talking last night on the street. just amazed again that Randy mentioned something. He just said, we live in our valley, and we don't even see what's going on here. It's so easy just to go to church every Sunday and go back home and live in our quiet, peaceable lives and not even really understand what's going on in the world. I was blessed with Wilbur. He told me that he was there whenever he was meeting with some of the people in Kentucky, that they were kind of fussing with him about what it means, the atonement and the different things. Mark, Chuck, come over and sat beside him, and he started defending what Wilbur was saying. He said, I don't understand what he's saying, but he said, these people are on the street fighting with this every night, every week. And he said, we're sitting here in the hid away in the hills and don't see what the battle is. And I was blessed by that he would just understand that well. You've got to be involved in looking before you can understand what's happening in the world. People think that they can be a Christian just because of how they believe and their theology. We've told people before, on the judgment day, we're not going to be given a test. Every man will be judged by his works, by whether he's done the will of God. Not because he can explain it, or not because he can sit down and write out a thesis on the Trinity, or whatever the doctrine of the day is. How he put into practice following Jesus. That's what we're going to be judged by. Cut and dry. There is nothing else. It's not because we can understand or because we can explain it better than anyone else. It's because we're following through and putting it into practice. We can explain about the covering and modesty, how women ought to dress and how women ought to act like young ladies. But if we're not putting it into practice in our life, it's useless. If we're not learning to be submissive to our husbands, if we're not learning to practice modesty, what does it mean? It means to be ashamed, keep our bodies covered. Shamefaced and modesty and sobriety. Learn those things. Maybe we fail over and over again. Learn them. I was talking to a man this week. Learn things, following through. We were talking about when you start doing something different, how many things there is to learn about something new. They may seem like the simplest things. And I just brought up fixing fence. And during the week, another man had been working for us for a couple of years. And he said, you know, he said, after driving 5,000 fence posts, I finally kind of started learning how to do it right. And you think, driving a fence post, you stand there and pound a piece of post into the ground. Well, he said, after about 5,000 of them, I've learned how to do it. You may say, well, he's a slow learner. Well, a lot of times, a lot of us are slow learners, but there's things we can learn even from driving fence posts in the ground. It takes a lot of pounding. But you can learn how to do it better. You can learn how to be a better doer, but you learn it by doing it. You learn it by doing it. Whatever it is you do, you learn it by doing it. When you fail, you get up and you do it again. Learn and then do it. Following through. Don't be a quitter. Don't give up because it gets hard. Don't give up because you get tired. Follow it through. He that endureth to the end will be saved. Don't give up. Do what's right. Make the choices. Men, be men. Take a stand and be a man. It takes courage. Lesson this morning about Abimelech. Got killed. Girl dropped a rock on his head. Got killed by a girl. That was a shame. That was a shame. Today, it's hard to be a man. It's hard to stand up and say there's a difference between a man and a woman. Not that one's better than the other, but to be what God made you to be. It's no wonder people can't tell what they are. Men aren't men and women aren't women. It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. When you start carrying out the what it means, like for the covering, what it means for a woman to submit herself and obey her husband, we've gotten in quite a bit of trouble because if a man tells a woman, his wife, that he does not want her to wear a covering, should we accept that woman as being a Christian? If she's in obedience to her husband? Or should she rebel against her husband and wear that covering and what is it? What's the true meaning of righteousness in that case? Righteousness is doing what's right. It's not just about having a piece of cloth on your head. you're supposed to have. But if that cloth on your head doesn't represent you covering your head and allowing your head to be your head, then it means nothing at all. See, we can obey all the rules right down to the letter and miss righteousness a mile away. Following through with what's right is righteousness. Do what's right. Anybody can float along. You start putting into practice what's right, and you'll start to learn what a cross is. The battle is relentless. The devil is never going to give up fighting for you. Battle after battle after battle. And every time you only have to surrender once to lose it. He never stops coming. He never stops. And all it takes is you surrendering once, and you've lost. Thank God that's not the whole war. You can take it up again, but you'll have to regain that ground. And he'll keep coming, and he'll keep coming, and he'll keep coming, and he'll keep coming. And when you surrender, guess what? He'll start coming with something else until you surrender on that. You let the camel get his nose in the tent. Before long, the whole camel will be in your tent. When we take a position on different things, because we're following them through, that's when we get in trouble. When we start putting into practice. Others may say, yeah, that's probably right. That's the way it ought to be. But it isn't until somebody says, yeah, it's the way it ought to be and it's the way we're going to do it, that they start getting in trouble. This word here, Jesus said, verse 60, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Nobody understands preaching anymore. Preaching is not understood anymore. Jesus came, and whenever he was speaking, the people said, this man speaks with authority. In other words, he believes what he's saying. And he's speaking like he was sent to go tell it to someone, not just to go share with someone. You look up the word preach. Just thought about this in that letter we received. They've talked about some of the things we've said. We've said them in a high-handed manner. You look up preaching. The definition of preaching is to go to a place and tell somebody that hasn't necessarily asked. In fact, in most cases, you're unwelcome there, and it's to a people who don't want to hear it, and you do it in an officious manner. Look up the word officious, and it says in a high-handed, bold fashion. basically. I've transliterated that a little bit, but that's what it means. Saying stuff like that would bring a comment that would say, who do you think you are saying something like that? Well, I'm nobody. But the Word of God says it. And I don't have to make any apologies for saying it, just like it says it. And if it sounds high-handed to you, you have to take that up with God. That's your problem. Churches are made up of people. Real churches are made up of people who have committed themselves to following Jesus. Everywhere we go, people want us to come and start a church so that they can just join it. And I tell them, we're not starting churches. We're looking for people who want to be the church. We'll help you. But unless you do the standing on your own, you'll never be a church. You'll always just be a mission, an outreach. God is looking for men. That's who the church is made up of. Men and women who are going to follow Jesus, and they find fellowship with others who are going to follow Jesus. That are going to follow through and endure to the end. That are going to commit themselves to being faithful. We're living in perilous times. It's so easy just to go along or just to wait for someone to come along and be a leader. Because there's so few of them. Just be. Just be. Just do what you know to do. It's just that simple. May the Lord add his blessings. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. Fill us again with your Spirit and help us be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Have anything they'd like to share?